Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 767 and three quarters, up 8 1/4. July, 774, up 8 1/2. Soft May wheat, 696 1/2, up 7 1/2. July, 704 1/4, 4 even, up 7 1/2. May corn, 505, up 3 3/4, now 4 1/4. July, 511 1/2, up 4 1/4. December, 506 1/4, up 3 1/2. May soybean meal is 486.60, up 6.40. May soybean oils 42.76, up 17 cents. May soybeans 14.87 1/2, up 15 1/4. July 14.85 3/4, up 15 3/4, now 16. November 12.37, up 6. April live cattle 144.95, up 70. May feeders 180.27 1/2. Up 67 1/2. May lean hogs 120.85, down 205. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global. He'll tell me in just a minute. I'm having one of those brain freeze moments, but he is in Atchison, Kansas. Michael.
Just Global's fine, Dave.
Just Global's fine.
How are analytics. You? Well, should I ask how you are today?
Analytics is one of those unusual words, Michael.
Well, it's one of those modern words that you try and encompass a lot with one word because we have busy farmers out there, especially this time of year.
Oh, who are looking at rain possibilities and trying to get into the fields. And I bet there has been a lot of corn planted in some areas.
Yeah, it seems as though that the early part of the week when the models flipped very wet and very cold, producers that I spoke with held back, especially in Illinois and Indiana, from doing much planting. They still did as much as they could on field work and spraying down, burn down, stuff like that, but they didn't really want to plant a new seed bed on top of right before a major rain event followed by cold weather. But as the week has progressed, Dave, I think you're getting more and more producers out there at least getting something in the ground in case the models are wrong. And I can't blame them for that because there's a lot to get done, and we are at the end of April, and goodness knows these models have been flip-flopping a lot. And so if we end up being drier and warmer than what some of the models were depicting as we come back in on Sunday night and Monday, I think the trade could be quite a bit lower in corn if the wheat's not supporting. And I say that because I think the trade sentiment right now is the earlier you get the corn in, the more acres you're going to get and the bigger the yield you're going to get, nationally speaking. And so you can't really fight City Hall, so to speak, if you're a producer with models that keep flipping back and forth.
Let's look at some particulars. Wheat market, that is indeed about weather, it seems to me, with commercials leading the way in the purchasing.
Interesting that the weather, I think, is one of the two major factors, but I actually think that the Ukrainian situation is probably taking the top billing when it comes to the wheat, Dave, simply because I would have expected a lot more of a rally out of hard red wheat this week in relation or compared to soft red wheat. I haven't seen that separation, that, so to speak, a rocket separation where you see the hard red lead the soft red up if it was really all about weather. And I say that knowing that quite a few Indiana producers have called me this week and said, we've got large splotches in our yellow splotches in our soft red wheat. We think it's because of the ice and the freeze damage. And we're wondering whether, if we get a chance to come back around and rip that stuff up and put corn on top of it. So I know that the soft red wheat's not in an ideal situation in some parts of the eastern corn belt, but I really thought that the hard red wheat would find a much more willing buyer this week because of the missed rains after Monday especially, and especially after we got news that things were worsening in the Ukraine and tensions were mounting and the wheat prices over in the Ukraine and Russia, and their ag sector was starting to reflect a lot more tension. So haven't seen that spread difference that I would like to see.
Technicals often this time of year very important, as there's not a lot of news other than talking about planting progress and weather. And if you look at technicals and you look at December corn on a weekly basis, what jumps out at you is a key reversal higher. Do we respect it?
Yes, we do, because I think fundamentally it would be looked upon as a key reversal higher. Keep in mind, when we came back from the Easter holiday break, the three-day weekend, we had pretty negative chart technicals. We also had Barclays reporting that they were leaving the commodity sector. I do think that had some sentimental issues in the trade to deal with early in the week. And we got the news that the soy demand is peaking, that we've had probably some more cancellations, and we've got two loads coming up. We found that out on Good Friday, that two loads of Argentine meal were heading this way. So if you get an outside week this week after a rough start to the week after the three-day break, I think that means quite a bit, Dave, and I would say that Dow Jones UBS Grain Index has been able to get back and retake its 20-day moving average as support, but it's still not been able to get above its weekly support trend line that it fell below at the beginning of this week. So that's probably a number one on my list as far as the technicals go.
So our potential systems go for December corn to make a run at 517, which was the spike high, and or 1225 to 1233.
I think this is where the puts, Yeah, this is where the puts really make some sense to me. That if it's really based upon weather and geopolitics and the technicals look good going into today's close, I really am recommending, you know, producers that have not gotten up to the recommended sell levels to get some puts in place on the corn. I'm still very shy to do a lot of cash selling on the corn, and that's so far paid off. And part of the reason that is because the basis has been sloppy on new crop, and I really look for that to change, especially after seeing the weekly stocks report that USDA put out on Tuesday. So I'm more of a put mindset, and that way Sunday night I've got a hedged bet coming back in.
I think about this because of how short commercials are, and I know lots of commercials are very experienced, but there are some nervous ones out there who probably wouldn't mind doing some short covering.
The just-in-time mindset is not just in the commercial market here domestically, but I think globally, and I think that's how they're taught to, you know, save money, and cost savings is key in the commercial grain industry. The only thing I would say is that when you looked at the stocks of Grain Report, River Points and Plains lost a lot of grain, and it went to the Texas High Plains, to the cattle lots, and it went out to the Pacific Northwest for some shipping to the export market. And when it's all said and done, the percent capacity on the stocks of Grain Report was only 32%, and that compared to 41% a year ago. So I do think they're tight.
Mm-hmm. Turn our attention to soybeans then, where it had appeared for a few sessions that November soybeans might do a swap in its trend into a downtrend, but that hasn't happened.
No, and I think that's because the spread's going up and testing its resistance, which was the support. You know, that July-Nov bean spread, it looked like its back was broken this week when it closed below the 249-250 level. We're going back up to that 249-250 level to test that. I'm glad we're doing that. Kind of gives me reassurance technically that the market is making sure that it wants to go down another leg before technically it's ready to. So I like the way this July-Nov bean spread is trading. We've still got a pretty tough meal market. I think the processor that has been on downtime is coming back in and buying some beans domestically here, and that's helping the meal market as well, Dave. So I respect that July-Nov spread, whatever it looks like at the end of this week. I think you use that in your marketing plan.
So if I'm a hedger, corn and beans, where do I make the next sale incrementally?
Well, if you go higher, you want to go back up to that 1245 level in the November, because that would be, in my opinion, a kind of a consolidation high. And I think getting something done there and then seeing what would happen in the next couple of weeks would be a wise thing to do. Like you said, if you go back to that 517, 518 level in the Dease corn, I don't see a need to get a real aggressive cash sale mindset in place until you see if you can explore 525 to 535.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Current tick in the marketplace, May corn 505 and a half, up 4 1/4. December 506, up 3 1/4. May soybeans 1485, up 13. November $12.35 and three quarters, up 4 3/4. May soybean meal, $4.85.20, up $5. May soybean oil, $42.79, up 20 cents. And May lean hogs are $120.95. They're down $1.95. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.